Look with me, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 21, and we're going to talk about how to make a faith sandwich. How to make a faith sandwich. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, and seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from, Mark uses the word curse, from her curse. Jesus has a little conversation with the woman. We'll get to that in a few minutes, but look with me in verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking with the woman, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, only believe." He didn't let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this fuss? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed him to scorn. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went into where the child was. He took her by the hand, and he said to her in Aramaic, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. How to make a faith sandwich. I got a little help this week from my Facebook friends who described for me in delicious detail, mostly, their favorite sandwiches. So I'm pleased to announce to you this morning the winners of Pastor Glenn's Facebook favorite sandwich contest. And I want to ask a few people if they'll come and just join me quickly here on the platform so I can hand out their prizes. Josie, are you here? Josie Prieto? Come, Josie, right here. And Ethel, are you here? Ethel, are you here? Come, Ethel Caruso. And Mike Morris, come, if you would, please. And Dawn DeSantos, where are you, Dawnie? Come, Dawn, if you would. Stephen La Manya, would you come, Stephen? Let's see. And we have one more. We have Christian Gosselin. Where are you, Christian? Would you come, if you would, please? All right. So I asked people to describe to me in detail their favorite sandwich. So let me just share with you some favorite sandwiches. This is Josie Prieto, Latin Quarters, Miami, Florida, a Cuban sandwich, Cuban bread, pork, ham, Swiss cheese, mustard, pickles, served toasted to a crisp, yummy, yummy. Ethel Caruso, Texas, in Porchester, New York, a cheeseburger with chili and onions, then dream about when you're going to go again. Mike Morris, sardines soaked in red wine vinegar, a layer of Spam, a heaping tablespoon of Nutella, Kraft Yellow American ketchup and barbecue sauce on 12 grain toast. Dawn DeSantos, chubby chicken, chicken cutlet fried on seeded Italian bread with bacon, ranch dressing, lettuce, and tomato. Stephen LaMagna has chicken cutlet or grilled chicken, roasted red peppers, mozzarella, prosciutto, balsamic vinaigrette to dip. That got my attention. The chicken should be heated. See, you're a man. I like this detail. The chicken should be heated just enough that the fresh mozzarella melts, but not all the way. I'm with you on that one. You can get this sandwich at Carmine's Deli in Elmsford. Okay, who else have we got? Who did I miss here? And Christian Gosselin. Peanut butter with strawberry jelly. It's a classic. And you call yourself French. All right, so before I hand out the prizes here, I just want to take a minute and I want to tell you about my favorite sandwich, all right? My favorite sandwich is from a restaurant called Pasta Vera on Greenwich Avenue. It's the grilled chicken panini. So it is freshly grilled chicken, still warm, with fontina cheese all over it, and roasted red peppers in garlic, and arugula, and then a fresh ciabatta roll that is slathered with pesto mayonnaise. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to share with you, I want to share my favorite sandwich with you. So I have a gift certificate to Pasta Vera, so you and someone you love, like your pastor, can go get a sandwich together, all right? So let me hand these out. Thank you. Okay, and for Mike Morris, just a little something extra, all right? And for Christian, you call yourself French. All right, give everybody a big hand if you would, please. Thank you so much. All right, well, it turns out that Mark was very fond of sandwiches too. In the Gospel of Mark, a sandwich is a story within a story. Mark begins a story, he interrupts it with another story, and then he goes back and he finishes the first story. And the two stories work together to shout one important point about Jesus. We actually already looked at the first sandwich in Mark chapter 3. You remember Jesus' birth family come to arrest him because they think he's out of his mind. And that story is interrupted with the arrival of the scribes from Jerusalem who accuse Jesus of being possessed by Beelzebub. And then Mark goes back and he finishes the story with Jesus' family. That is a Mark sandwich. There are 10 of them in the Gospel of Mark. I'll throw out another challenge. If you can find all 10 this week, I'll give you another prize next week, all right? There's 10 of them. But everyone's favorite sandwich in Mark is here in Mark chapter 5. The healing of Jairus' daughter interrupted by the healing of the bleeding woman. And these two stories work together to shout one important point about Jesus. And as I look at the words of Mark 5, I see a recipe for making a faith sandwich, and I want to share it with you quickly this morning. And of course, by quickly, I'm being completely insincere. So sit back, relax for a while, and let's talk about how to make a faith sandwich. How to make a faith sandwich. First of all, start by reaching out to Jesus in faith. Reach out to Jesus in faith. This faith sandwich begins with a shocking scene. A pleading father on his knees before Jesus in front of a gawking crowd. And this father wasn't just anybody. This was Jairus, the leader of the Capernaum synagogue. In Jesus' day, local synagogues weren't run by professional priests or rabbis. They were run by congregational volunteers, a lot like our deacons. They were responsible for the maintenance and the operation of the synagogue. And the leader of the synagogue, the head deacon, if you will, planned the weekly worship services. He invited people in the congregation to read scriptures and to say prayers, and on occasion permitted a guest teacher to speak. No doubt, Jesus had made quite an impression on Jairus. Every time Jesus showed up in his synagogue, there was fireworks. Demons began to scream. There were healing miracles breaking out, confrontations between Jesus and the Pharisees. Oh yes, Jairus knew Jesus quite well. Hands down, Jairus was the most important man in Capernaum. And now he's on his knees pleading with Jesus to save the life of his daughter. You know, that's the funny thing about sickness. It levels the playing field of humanity in an instant. It brings proud men down on par with poor women. It strips people of their dignity. It reduces an envied man to an object of pity. But Jairus shows us the first ingredient to a faith sandwich. Reach out to Jesus in faith. Salvation and healing come through faith working by love. Just like the four friends who carried their paralyzed buddy to Jesus, Jairus shows us again that one way that salvation and healing come is through the faith of one person on behalf of another. It wasn't the faith of the young daughter that saved her. It was the faith of the pleading father. Imagine the love for his daughter that drove the most prominent citizen in Capernaum to his knees, and he didn't care who was watching. Dads, don't stop pleading on your knees for your children. Moms, don't stop pleading on your knees for your children. Children, don't stop pleading for your parents. Husbands, don't stop pleading on your knees for your wives. Wives, don't stop pleading on your knees for your husbands. Brothers, don't stop pleading for your brothers. Sisters, don't stop pleading for your sisters. Friends, don't stop pleading on your knees for your friends and even for your enemies. Don't stop praying. Don't stop fasting. Don't stop seeking corporate prayer. Don't stop imploring Jesus. Don't stop trying. Don't stop extending yourself. Don't stop sowing seeds of kindness and Christ's love. Don't stop trying any way you can to get people to Jesus. Your faith working by love is enough to release salvation and healing on behalf of someone else. Salvation and healing come through faith that is focused exclusively on the person of Jesus. Based on what he had seen, Jairus was fully convinced that Jesus could help. My daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hand on her so that she will recover. Jairus reached out. He pushed through that crowd. He implored Jesus on his knees, fully convinced that Jesus' touch saves lives. And I love what Mark reports about Jesus. Without saying a word, Jesus begins to move. Mark reminds us of something important about Jesus that American Christianity has forgotten. Jesus is not just a message. He is God on the move. He's God at work in the world. Beloved, Jesus is not just information. He is God involved in people's lives. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is a very present help in time of trouble. He's God involved in people's families. He's God involved in people's pain. I love that this faith sandwich reminds us that Jesus is interruptible. Beloved, listen to me. God is not so busy running the universe that he lets your calls go through to voicemail. When you call, he's interruptible. Pastors let your call go through to voicemail, but Jesus doesn't. When you call, he's interruptible. He stops and he answers. Jesus is not just a teaching. He is God touching. Before Jesus gets to Jairus' house, the word comes. Your daughter has died, and the messengers tell Jairus, don't bother the teacher anymore. I guess that would be the right decision if Jesus were only a teacher, but he's not just a teacher. He is the divine toucher. Beloved, American Christianity has reduced Jesus to a powerless pile of words, cleverly crafted homilies, stirring poetry, moving metaphors, pleasant platitudes. But the kingdom of heaven is not talk, it is power. When the pleading father fell on his knees before Jesus, Jesus didn't stand there and recite footprints to him. Jesus made tracks. He moved. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When people reach out to him, he still moves. He is still God involved. He is still God touching. He is still God with us. If you need a miracle, reach out to him in faith. How to make a faith sandwich. Reach out to Jesus in faith. And second, I find this. Exercise hands-on faith in Jesus. Exercise hands-on faith in Jesus. Jesus is now on the move with the pleading father when unexpectedly onto the scene arrives a bleeding female. Unlike Jairus, she is unknown. A poor woman in a pathetic plight. For 12 years, she suffered with continuous feminine bleeding. Mark calls it a curse. As if her personal suffering hadn't been enough, as if her psychological suffering hadn't been enough, and her physical suffering, her condition carried with it a serious social stigma. Feminine bleeding to the Jewish people made a woman ceremonially unclean. This means that she was forbidden to go out into public places. She was forbidden to public worship. She couldn't go to the synagogue. Anything or anyone she touched would become unclean too. What an unlikely pair brought together by sickness. A pleading father who was the ruler of the synagogue and a bleeding female who was banned from the synagogue. The woman had consulted doctor after doctor, and she had suffered terribly through their various treatments. The Talmud, the Jewish book of customs, suggested 11 different possible cures for her particular condition. Most of them were based on superstition. Some of them involved saying certain formulaic words, magic words, while you were holding different objects, or drinking strange potions, or carrying different things around with you in a napkin. One of the suggested cures was for someone to sneak up behind the woman and scare her, much the way we try to cure people of the hiccups. And just like it doesn't cure hiccups, it didn't cure her of her bleeding. She spent all that she had. If you want to know how valuable money isn't, then just look at how quickly someone who is sick will spend everything they have if they could only get well again. After all that, instead of getting better, she only grew worse. And then she heard about Jesus. Beloved, the pleading father, he reached out to Jesus based on what he had seen, but the bleeding female's faith was a notch above that. She exercised hands-on faith based on what she had heard about Jesus. After the resurrection, Jesus looked at doubting Thomas and he said, "Thomas, you believe because you've seen me, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet they believe." And that's the second ingredient to a faith sandwich. Exercise hands-on faith in Jesus. Having a flow of blood for 12 years and having suffered much under the care of many doctors and having spent all she had and having gotten no better but having gotten worse and having heard about Jesus and having come up behind him, she touched him. Salvation and healing come through faith that is creatively determined. Just like the four friends that dug through the roof of Peter's house, the bleeding woman refused to be denied. She refused to allow any obstacle to deter her. She couldn't do what Jairus did. She couldn't approach Jesus face to face. She didn't have his status. She wasn't a man. She was a woman. She was a bleeding woman. She wasn't allowed to approach. She wasn't allowed to touch anyone, let alone a Jewish rabbi. So she maneuvered her way through that jostling crowd, and she snuck up behind him and she touched the corner of his prayer shawl. Salvation and healing comes through faith that moves. Jesus isn't the only one who moved. In Mark 5, the bleeding woman moved. Beloved, fatalism sits still. Fatalism gives up. It expects nothing, it reaches for nothing, and it receives nothing. Fatalism resigns itself to whatever suffering life has brought, but faith refuses to lie down and die. Faith refuses to give up. Faith acts. Faith gets up. Faith presses forward to find Jesus, and faith lays hold of him. Through the pleading Father, we see that sometimes healing comes through the faith of one on behalf of another, but through the bleeding woman, we see that sometimes salvation and healing come through the faith of the petitioner herself or himself. Her touch was an act of faith in Jesus as the Jewish Messiah. Beloved, this is very important that you understand this. You must understand this. The bleeding woman's faith was not faith in the power of faith. Her faith was not in some amorphous universal energy. There are faith healers employed by Greenwich Hospital. Your tax dollars and your insurance premiums pay their salaries, and they go around from room to room offering to pray for healing for the patients, only they're not believers in Jesus. They are New Age energy healers. And they believe that healing comes from some, you know, unidentified cosmic energy just swirling around out there somewhere in the universe. Do not ever let them lay their hands on you. Don't ever let anybody lay their hands on you unless you know that they're laying their hands on you in the name of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Her faith was not in spirits. Her faith was not in the power of psychosomatic healing. Her faith was not in the power of the human will. Her faith was not in magic. It was not in incantations or talismans. Her faith was not even in religious rituals. Her faith was in the person of Jesus as the Jewish Messiah, the Savior, and the healer. She had heard that in the temple was an altar for burnt offerings, and she had heard that everything that touches it would be made holy, but she couldn't go there. She couldn't go into the inner court. She couldn't go past the court of women, and in her condition, she couldn't even go into the court of women. But she had also heard that a Messiah was coming, the Son of Righteousness, that would rise with healing in his wings. The word translated wings in English, in Hebrew, means the corner of the prayer shawl. The Son of Righteousness, the Messiah, will rise with healing power in the corner of his prayer shawl. And when she heard about Jesus, based on what she had heard, she was convinced in her heart that he was this Son of Righteousness. And when she snuck up behind him and touched the corner of his prayer shawl, she believed that she would not make him dirty, but that he would make her clean. All three miracles in Mark chapter 5 bring Jesus directly into contact with uncleanness. We didn't read the story about the demonized man living among the tombs, but Mark 5 opens with that. Then there's a bleeding woman and finally a dead girl. Graves, feminine bleeding, and corpses, Jesus hit the trifecta of ceremonial uncleanness in Mark 5. But beloved, in each instance, Jesus takes away the uncleanness and he replaces it with God's wholeness. May God give you grace to receive words of salvation. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the Son of Righteousness. He is the Jewish Messiah. He is the one and only Savior of the world, risen from the dead with healing power in the corners of his prayer saw. And what Jesus did then, he still does today. He takes away all of our uncleanness. He takes away our sins. He takes away our guilt, our shame. He takes away all of our brokenness. He takes away all of our messes, and he replaces it with God's wholeness. Forgiven souls, clean consciences, sound minds, sound bodies, a bright future here on earth, and a destiny in heaven with him for all eternity. Healing is an outward manifestation of God's greater inner work of salvation. Immediately, the bleeding female was healed. She felt it. Beloved, can I tell you, one touch from Jesus can cure what 12 years of treatment cannot. One touch from Jesus can cure what 12 years of therapy cannot. And Jesus felt the healing power go out of him. And Jesus wheeled around and he asked, "Who touched me?" And the disciples begin to chide him. "Lord, you're asking who touched me? Lord, everybody's touching you. How could you ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept surveying the crowd. Jesus kept on looking. Lots of people had touched him, but there was only one who had exercised hands-on faith. What I love about this story is that Jesus was just as persistent to find the woman as the woman had been to find Jesus. And we find out why. The woman wanted a cure, but Jesus wants a face-to-face encounter. She wanted a medical solution, but Jesus wants a one-on-one meeting. She wanted a prescription, but Jesus wants a personal relationship. That's good right there. He says to her, "Daughter, your faith has saved you." Doesn't use the word for heal. He says saved. "Your faith has saved you and has freed you from your curse." Then Jesus speaks over her the Jewish blessing, "Lechi lai shalom," go in peace. It means go in the wholeness of God's salvation. Go in his completeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, because he is with you. Beloved, may God give you grace. The greater miracle that happened to the bleeding woman was the unseen inner miracle of God's salvation in her life. Beloved, no matter how urgently you might need an earthly miracle this morning, the greatest miracle that could ever happen to you is the miracle of his salvation. The greatest miracle that could ever happen to you is to have your sins forgiven and washed away from you by the blood of Jesus that he shed on the cross. His blood can make every part clean. Bible says God is able to save to the uttermost those who come to him in faith. That means there is no depth that you have sunk to that God's grace is not able to reach down and to save you. Somebody needs to hear that word today. The greatest miracle that could ever happen to you is to enter into a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son, whereby God addresses you as my son, my daughter. Behold, what kind of love is this that we should be called the children of God? That's where miracles begin. That's where healing miracles begin. Where there is saving faith in the person of Jesus, there is power for miracles. How do I make a faith sandwich? Reach out to Jesus in faith. Exercise hands-on faith. And finally this, no matter what, hold on to Jesus in faith. No matter what, hold on to Jesus in faith. While Jesus was still speaking to the bleeding woman, messengers arrived from Jairus' house. Your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? Now it was time for Jairus to grow in his faith. He had reached out to Jesus based on what he had seen, but now would he come up to the level of faith of the bleeding woman? Would he believe what he heard from the messengers, or would he believe the word of Jesus instead? Would he exercise hands-on faith? Would he dismiss Jesus as the messengers had suggested, or would he hold on to Jesus and not let go? That's the third ingredient to a faith sandwich. No matter what, hold on to Jesus in faith. I love this verse. It says, Jesus ignored the messengers. He gave them the hand. Beloved, the girl was most certainly dead. That was reality. But Jesus was aware of an alternative reality. He was aware of a God reality, a spiritual reality that eclipses earthly realities. Beloved, listen to me. It's time that we reclaimed a truth that the enemy has stolen away from us because of some abuse, because of some unbalanced teaching. In the past, the faith pendulum has swung way too far in the wrong direction, and we've forgotten that sometimes we need to just ignore the messengers. Sometimes we need to just give them the hand. Sometimes we need to refuse to receive their report. Untreatable, inoperable, terminal, irreversible, inevitable, inescapable, irreconcilable, incorrigible. I'm not suggesting that we live in denial of reality, but I am saying that we need to live with an awareness that there is an alternative reality, a God reality. Paul says that Abraham faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, being 100 years old, and yet he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God was able to do what he had promised. Sometimes healing and salvation come through the faith of one on behalf of another. Jairus shows us that. Sometimes healing and salvation come through the faith of the petitioner himself or herself. The bleeding woman shows us that. But sometimes salvation and healing come through the faith of the ministering person. Jesus shows us that. Jesus was aware of three things. He was aware of an alternate spiritual reality that eclipses earthly medical science. God's Son has defeated God's adversary, and with it, sickness and even death itself. Jesus was aware of the spiritual reality that death itself is only temporary in his presence. Second, he was aware of God's intention. He knew God's will in the matter. Jesus knew what the Father had already determined to do. And finally, Jesus was aware of the Spirit-inspired strategy to release that healing miracle. Beloved, there is no set formula in the Bible for ministering healing. You can look, but you will not find it. Jesus didn't have one, and he didn't give us one either. For each person that we minister to, we must get the mind of the Lord and find the strategy of the Spirit in praying for that person. That's why Mark interpreted the Aramaic words that Jesus spoke, to be sure that we understood that they were just ordinary words. Little girl, get up. There is no magic incantation or ritual for healing, only on-the-spot directions from the Holy Spirit. That's good right there. Listen to me. Healing doesn't come through vials of holy water. Save your money. Doesn't come through holy cloths or holy oil. It doesn't come through holy icons. Healing comes from only one place, from the living touch of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God. Jesus ignored the messengers, and he gave Jairus an alternative message. Don't be afraid. Only believe. In Greek, it's in that continuous tense. It means keep on believing. Don't be afraid. Just keep on. Keep on. Don't be afraid. Just keep on believing. Don't be afraid. Only believe. Only believe. In spite of the messenger's report. Only believe in spite of the diagnosis, in spite of the prognosis, in spite of the professional's opinions, in spite of the outlook. Only believe. Only believe. Even when things are going from bad to worse. For 12 years, the woman went from bad to worse. The 12-year-old girl was getting worse by the second while Jesus was delayed. Only believe. Only believe. Even if you've been stripped of all your dignity. Sickness and suffering are no respecters of persons. They level the playing field of humanity in an instant. But Jesus is no respecter of persons either. He healed a proud man's daughter, and he healed a poor woman, and he raised a little girl to life again. Only believe, even if you've suffered the loss of everything you had. Only believe, even if you feel too ashamed to approach him face to face. Only believe, even when everyone else has given up on you. Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Even God can't help him now. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You are my glory and the lifter of my head. Only believe, even though everyone's mocking your faith. Only believe, even though everyone is urging you to face reality. Only believe, even when everyone tells you it's too late now. Only believe, even when you can see no hope for the future. Only believe, even though your answer is delayed. Only believe, even if you still have to press in a little harder to Jesus. Even if you have to press in a little harder to touch the corner of his garment. Only believe, even if you're disappointed with Jesus' timing. Only believe, even though others may be getting their miracles ahead of yours. Sometimes it can be very hard to see others getting answers from heaven while you're still waiting for yours. Well, you want to be happy for them. You really do. But you can't help feeling sorry for yourself. I wonder how Jairus felt over the delay. If only Jesus hadn't stopped. If only that manipulative, dirty woman hadn't made her way through the crowd and touched him. If only she hadn't taken his attention away from my need, maybe Jesus would have gotten there on time. But beloved, the healing of the bleeding woman was meant to bolster the weaker faith of the pleading father. He needed to see again what Jesus could do. He needed to be emboldened to act, to walk with Jesus all the way back to his house, to chase the mourners out of the living room, to walk into the bedroom and to stand over the body of his dead daughter and to say to Jesus, "You fix this." After the healing power left Jesus and transferred to the bleeding woman, he had no less power to heal. He still had just as much power to heal. He didn't have less power, but Jairus had more faith. Beloved, listen to me. This is a living word from the Holy Spirit for somebody in this place this morning. If someone else has gotten their miracle before you, take it as God's sure sign to you that you're next. Only believe, even when all earthly hope is gone. Only believe, even when the doctors can't do anymore, even when the marriage counselor sees no hope, even when the financial advisor sees no way out. Only believe. Only believe. Even when your children are slipping away from you and you can't do anything to stop it, only believe. Even though you're asking Jesus to do something you have never seen him do before, only believe. Even in the very face of death itself. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Jesus, you are with me. A faith sandwich. Two stories that work together to shout one message about Jesus. Have faith. Have faith. Have faith. Have more faith. Have more faith. Have more faith. Have more faith. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. In Jesus. Stand up on your feet and I want you to give him a big praise right now. Come on. Oh, that's a wimpy little praise. I want you to give him a great big praise. Come on, you can do more. You can do more. Come on, give him a great big praise in this place. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I want you to just begin to lift up the name of Jesus with me. Just begin to lift up the name of Jesus. Begin to say the name of Jesus with me. Jesus, Jesus, we worship you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. Come on, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are saved. Come on, shout the name of Jesus in this place. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Demons have to run away at the sound of that name. Come on, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We honor you. Come on. Let's make that confession of the church together. Jesus is Lord. Would you say it? Jesus is Lord. Come on, say it. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Give him a big praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. There's an oldie but a goodie that says, only believe. Help us sing it, Pastor Nick. Sing, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only. Come on, sing that again. Only believe. Only believe. Listen, you say, I don't know how to reach him. I don't know how to touch him. Can I tell you that the presence of Jesus is just as real in this place right now as it was on the shore of the Sea of Galilee? And if you need to touch Jesus, all you need to do is reach up your hand and God will reach all the way, the rest of the way, and he'll touch you. If you need a miracle in your life, if you need help from heaven, if you need a breakthrough, if you need a medical miracle, if you need a marriage miracle, if you need a mom or a dad miracle with a son or a daughter, maybe you need a multiple miracle. It's all of the above. I just need it all. If you need it, Jesus is just as close as stretching out your hand to him. Come on, I want you, if you need heaven's help, I want you to lift up your hand and we're going to sing, Lord, I believe. Come on, sing it with us.
I believe, oh Lord, I believe, all things are possible, Lord, I believe.
Come on, Lord, I believe, Lord, I believe. Just lift your hands. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, release healing virtue. God, release healing power from the throne of God, Lord. I pray that right now in Jesus' name, healing virtue would be transmitted to the people of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we speak healing over every infirmity, over every illness, sickness, and disease. In the name of Jesus, we speak healing, Lord, over joints and muscles, Lord, over arthritis and bursitis, in the name of Jesus. Over shin splints, we speak healing right now in Jesus' name. Over every degenerative condition that has caused joints to break down and degenerate and has caused pain, we speak the healing of Jesus Christ of Nazareth over it right now. We speak restoration into men's bones, into women's bones. What's the disease where the calcium goes out of your bones? Osteoporosis, in Jesus' name, we speak healing over osteoporosis. The Bible says that this will be health and strength to your bones. We speak life to your very bones in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Every blood-borne illness, every blood-borne disease, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. You leave, you go. Every crippling spirit, you depart and leave the people of God. Loose them and let them go. Release them right now. You leave and don't come back. In the name, every curse of illness that has come down through generational lines, we loose you. You let go. You leave in Jesus' name. You have no authority here. You must let go of the people of God and leave in the mighty name of Jesus. Shakarabaga, shakarabaga, shiki. We speak to asthma. We speak to chronic allergies. You loose the people of God. You let them go. You leave. In Jesus' name, we speak the healing of God in this place. We speak shalom. Lekilai shalom. We speak the peace of God over every tormented mind and spirit in this place. Every spirit of anxiety, every spirit of fear, every spirit of trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, we rebuke you. You leave in Jesus' name. You cannot stay anymore. Insomnia, you leave in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You go in Jesus' name. You cannot stay here. You have no authority. Cancer, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You have no authority. We speak to every cancer cell. We curse you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command you to wither and die and to pass harmlessly out of bodies in the name of Jesus. We speak health and wholeness as the number of your days. We speak health to eyes and strength to eyes. We speak healing of cataracts in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Tears in the retina, loss of peripheral vision. In Jesus' name, we speak the healing of God. Come on, church, lift up your hands. Just minister to the Lord right now. If He's given you a gift of speaking in another tongue, just minister to Him right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for financial breakthroughs, Lord God. Thank you for financial miracles. God, we are fully persuaded that you are able to do what you have promised to do, Lord God. Father, we speak restoration for everyone who has lost assets, for everyone who has lost wealth, for everyone who has lost property in this recession, Lord. We speak supernatural restoration in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, for everyone who's lost the opportunity to earn wages, Lord, Father, we speak restoration. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're going to make the thief pay back seven times what he's stolen from the people of God. In Jesus' mighty name, thank you, Lord. Come on, lift up your hands. Sing, Lord, I receive. I receive, Lord, I receive, Lord, I receive, all things are possible, Lord, I receive. Would you bow your heads with me all over this place? We're going to pray and go in just 1 minute, but just before we do, I have to ask this question. The greatest miracle that could ever come to you is the miracle of God's salvation. The greatest miracle that could ever come to you is to have your sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The greatest miracle that could ever happen to you is to come into a new relationship with God the Father through Jesus the Son, to become His son, to become His daughter. I wonder if there's someone here and you've never experienced the greatest miracle of all, the inside miracle of His salvation, and today you need that. If that's you, I simply want to say a prayer with you. We've had people in every service this weekend who have come to Jesus and experienced it, and you can too. If you're here today and you know you need to experience the greatest miracle, the miracle of His salvation, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but we're just going to help you pray. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you need that, I want you to just lift your hand high wherever you are. Lift your hand high. There's people here, everywhere. There's people who else? Come on. I need to experience the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of His salvation inside. Who else? Who else? Come on, who else? Lift your hand high. I need to experience the greatest miracle of all. Somebody already back. Who else? Who else? Come on. I need to experience the greatest miracle of all. I want to ask everyone to lift up your hands with us. Some of us are going to be like four friends today. We're going to help carry some people right to the feet of Jesus to receive His forgiving grace. I'm going to lead us in a prayer. I want everyone to repeat after me, and let's help some people receive the miracle of His salvation. Come on, let's pray. Father, thank you for loving me. Father, thank you for sending your only son. Jesus, thank you for coming. You live for me. You died on the cross for me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. Jesus, I believe you rose from the dead. I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Jesus, I need you. Wash me. Forgive my sins. Cleanse me. Remove my shame and guilt. Jesus, I'm turning away from my old life and I'm turning to you. Jesus, I invite you now to be my Lord and the leader of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, come on, give him some praise. Thank you. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, just before you go, I want you to slip up here. We have a box that we're going to give you, and it's got a New Testament in it. It has some of Pastor Dan's worship music and some things to help you get started on your new journey. I want to ask our prayer teams to come very quickly, if you would. All of our prayer teams, our deacons, any of our pastors that are here, come forward very quickly. I just want to share this with you about last night at our Saturday night service. At the very end, a woman came and shared a testimony with me. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about God's Son has defeated God's adversary, and I was praying for people here at the altar, and in the whole mob, I missed a woman. I didn't pray for her, and so the service was really over, and she was going to leave, but she decided to come and get prayer because she just needed it. She had just been diagnosed with breast cancer. She was biopsied, and they found breast cancer in her lymph nodes. It was not contained. It was spreading, and so she was going back for surgery. We prayed for her, and she didn't tell me what the need was, just that she needed prayer. Almost left, almost went. Service was over. She said, well, he missed me. It's okay. But she came back. She exercised some hands-on faith. She went and she had those lymph nodes removed, and while the doctor was in there, she put markers inside so that they could go back and begin radiation and other kind of treatments. And the doctor called her a few days later after the pathology came back, and she said, I don't understand it, but she said every bit of tissue that we removed was completely negative. There's no cancer in your body. And the doctor said, I can't find the markers that I left inside of you. They're gone too. How many of you know Jesus is still God involved? He's still God touching. He is still God with us. If you need a miracle this morning, don't you leave.